Hey, welcome back to Memphis in Minutes, the abbreviated retro wrestling review podcast where I, Gene Jackson, bring you Memphis wrestling history in 10 minutes or less, guaranteed. Even when the episode includes convicts, Bill Street posse beatdowns, and referees straight out of Foot Locker. Today, we're headed back to April 20th, 2002 for an episode of Championship Wrestling on America One Television. And my God, when people talk about the glory days of Memphis wrestling, this certainly isn't what they're referring to. We open with Corey Macklin inside the ring. We're not in a studio at this point, and they don't really mention where we are in this opening, but they're actually in Dyersburg, Tennessee at this point. Corey is joined by Hollywood Jimmy Blaylock in his solid white suit, and the fans waste no time in hitting him with those doughboy chants, to which he responds. And Nate the Rat, who now insists everyone call him Colonel Nathaniel Whitlock, despite the fact that he's dressed more like an extra from a Lost Sopranos episode. Anyway, they spend the first few moments calling each other's names, insulting the fans, and letting us know what we can expect on this week's show, including Derek King, Flex, Jerry the King Lawler with Joni, the Bill Street Posse. Plus, they allude to a convict we'll be seeing in action, although Corey doesn't seem to know who this convict might be. First match, we get Kevin White taking on Timothy Grind, although Corey seems to think his name is Timothy Grimes, as that's what he calls him through the entire match. Jimmy says he hates the fans and Kevin White, to which Corey replies, "You hate everything. I bet you even hate school." And then, almost as if on cue, almost as if it was a planned bit, Jimmy and Nate break into a rendition of Jimmy Hart's We Hate School song from back in the day. Yeah, apparently last week they sang Lawler's Bad News song from the 70s, so this, in fact, is definitely a running bit on the show. Lovely. Nate starts randomly putting over his team of the Bill Street Posse and tells Corey, "They're going to jack your soul." And much like Corey, I really wasn't sure how to take that. Anyway, as Kevin White hits Grind with a nice DDT for a two count. Eventually, Kevin pulls out the win with a nice sunset flip off the second rope, and Blaylock questions the count, asking, "Where do they find this guy? Foot Locker?" Then Grind jumps White post-match like this was a Monday Night Raw episode from 1997, and guess what? The Foot Locker ref is nowhere to be found. Perhaps his break was up and he was headed back to the mall. I don't know. Next match is All That Alan Steele taking on Tyler Gates. And this was a nice, fast-paced match here. Hollywood is very complimentary of these guys, saying they should be a tag team instead of facing each other, and perhaps he should manage them. Corey isn't so sure about that. Steele controls most of the match, but then Gate gets the win with a spine buster absolutely out of nowhere. Solid match from these two, with Tyler Gates getting the victory over All That Alan Steele. Then things get a bit uncomfortable. Jamie Dundee, dressed in a prison jumpsuit while handcuffed and shackled, is now going by the convict, and he's brought to the ring by Warden Boss Winters, longtime manager of the legendary tag team Rough and Ready, which apparently led him to a lucrative career as a prison warden, or perhaps a game warden. Who knows? I don't know, but he's Warden Boss Winters. The former JC Ice cuts a half-shoot, half-fever dream promo about how it's disgusting in America that you can be locked up for 17 months just for not paying your child support. And he was treated like Jeffrey Dahmer or Charles Manson. Jamie says it's his ex-wives who should be in jail instead of him because they're the ones that left him and took away his kids. And now they want his hard-earned money? Huh. You don't think so? Well, then he mentions Joni, which was Lawler's valet slash girlfriend of the moment, and starts talking about he hasn't seen a woman in 17 months, and Joni makes him want to do things that would cost him his work release. Macklin gets nervous and quickly wraps things up from there, and somehow manages to not work in that was ridiculous in that promo. If there was ever an appropriate time for Corey to say it, this was it. But somehow, he managed to not work it in. Next up, we see the Spellbinder taking on Biddy Little, and it's less of a match and more of a squash with occasional push-ups mixed in. Spellbinder's as big as I've ever seen him here. I would call this his Scott Steiner phase. At one point, Nate refers to him as Super Spell, and he does, in fact, have a Superman logo on the back of his tights. So Maybe that's what they were going for here. The commentary focuses 80% on Spellbinder's muscles and 20% on insulting Biddy like this was open mic night. Biddy gets maybe 3 seconds of offense before getting slammed, flattened, and then pinned with a powerbomb. Basically, it was a bad night for Biddy, but Spellbinder looked good here, and I got a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot more of him here on this incarnation of championship wrestling. Next up, the King and Joni are out to speak. So naturally, Lawler leads with a prison joke, where Lawler says the real warden told him not only had Jamie Dundee not seen a woman in 17 months, in prison he was the woman. Corey gives a very uncomfortable laugh and reminds Lawler that they are on television. And yeah, thanks for the reminder, Corey. I had kind of forgotten this was on television as well. I could see how Lawler could. But anyway, that line, classy? Nope. But classic Lawler, absolutely. Exactly the kind of promo you expect from Lawler. He goes on to thank everybody for watching this show that's been on for a few weeks. He says that the ratings are through the roof. And if you watch this on YouTube, if the ratings were through the roof for this, then that kind of tells you the state of professional wrestling in 2002. Yikes. Next match, it's the King in action against the Convict. Dundee comes out in shackles. The warden's yelling, as you'd expect. This match is equal parts comedy, brawling, and weird social commentary. Before the match, Dundee cuts another promo mid-ring, kind of doubling down on wanting to bang Lawler's woman, who, since the previous promo, she has now changed into a new outfit that shows her tits even more prominently than the previous outfit. Perhaps that was strategic, since she knew the Convict here, Jamie Dundee, would get distracted. And once the match gets going, understandably, Jamie does get distracted by Joni and her chesticles, which gives Lawler an early advantage. But eventually, his manager, the warden, Boss Winters, manages to get involved, and that allows Jamie to pull out those handcuffs and choke Lawler with them and work Lawler over for a good portion of the match. But Dyersburg is still close enough to Memphis that eventually Lawler finally pulls that strap down, and the crowd has to question what decade they're in as Lawler makes the big comeback. But of course, this is Memphis television. We've got two stars in the ring. So what happens? A disqualification after chaos erupts, because, you know, it's Memphis tradition. You see two star level competitors. If one of them's not an enhancement person, you're probably going to see a DQ. And sure enough, we did. But guess what? Jerry Lawler and the Convict, not the main event. You would suspect so, but nope, they're not. The main event is the Bill Street Posse, Simon and Dustin Starr, managed by Colonel Nathaniel Whitlock, a.k.a. Nate the Rat, taking on Derek King and Flex. And it's a solid tag team match. Derek looks good. Flex shows fire. Nate the Rat's at ringside in just full-on shenanigans mode. About midway through, Nate hits Derek with the cane, clear as day, in front of the referee, but he lets it happen because, well, it's not the finish. So anyway, the posse ends up getting the win, and they celebrate like they've just won the Crockett Cup back when it actually mattered. So what do we learn this week, folks? Jamie Dundee, while famous for PG-13, cuts promos that are rated R. Footlocker referees don't stick around after the match because, you know, that cigarette isn't going to smoke itself. Joni left Chachi for Lawler in 2002, but apparently not for very long. And if your tag team includes the words Bill Street, expect shenanigans. That's it for another episode of Memphis in Minutes. I'm Gene Jackson, and remember, I watch this shit so you don't have to. You're welcome, and we'll see you next week for more Chaos, Convicts, and Corey Macklin Ridiculousness.